So I'm going to be continuing this series, the second part of The Sower and the Seed. And last week we started talking about this parable, the parable of the sower, and it was from the book of Luke. This parable is in three of the four Gospels, so today we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower in the book of Matthew. And we're going to be focusing on the second type of soil, which is the rocky soil. It's been, you know, I was just talking to somebody in the foyer. I really enjoy doing the messages because it kind of pushes me deeper into the scriptures, especially with the gospels. The gospels are so, honestly, they're easy. They're easy to preach on because Jesus is so, he's the best teacher. And sometimes I feel like all I have to do is just read it because he's always challenging our concepts of the kingdom and our concepts of God, and it is mind-blowing, and I love it. So to read these parables by Jesus, it really challenges us. But Jesus taught in these parables, and quite honestly, the parables can be pretty confusing. I did a quick search, and I found that Jesus shared around 37 different parables, and he didn't explain them all. So, you know, it left a lot of people a little confused when he taught. And I just kept thinking, you know, why did Jesus teach in these parables or these metaphors? Like, what a strange strategy. And I can imagine that many people were confused and quite possibly maybe even a little angry with Jesus sometimes because they would travel these far distances to hear the Son of God speak, and then he shared this story and they didn't even know what it meant. They said, what do you say? Okay, all right, that's great. But we have the disciples, for which I am really grateful, because they act in the way that Jesus wanted them to, and they ask Jesus, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And so we have these disciples who are asking Jesus that, and Jesus tells them, he explains why or what he's doing and why he's sharing this message. And in one instance, they asked Jesus, just plainly, Jesus, why do you even teach the way you teach? Why do you share parables? Why not just tell us the truth? You know, why do you hide them in these stories and these metaphors? And I really love Jesus' answer, and it's in the book of Matthew chapter 13, the chapter that we're going to be looking at today. And Jesus kind of says it quite simply. He says, I share these stories to help create a desire to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I don't just want to teach the truths, but I want to help cultivate desire to know the truths. And I think this is just a great strategy for teaching in general. You know, Jesus, the great teacher, you know, I think we've all probably had a teacher, or we've had many teachers, and some of them are good teachers, and some of them not so good teachers, but good teachers do this. Good teachers don't just share the facts of the class. They actually help kind of create an interest in the knowledge, because most people, we consume information. If it's just facts, it goes in, it stays for a little while, or maybe it doesn't stay at all, or it stays just long enough to take the test. You take the test, and then that knowledge is gone. So it's kind of like, why consume all this information if it's not going to stick or it's not going to affect us or change us? But Jesus, he's the great teacher, and he says, no, I don't just want to share the truths of the kingdom. I want you to genuinely be interested in the kingdom. And so that's why he created these stories and parables to kind of draw people in. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. He who is interested in what I'm saying, let them lean in to what I'm talking about. So that's kind of his answer to the disciples. And I love that, because sometimes we can miss this cunning personality of Jesus, this clever person of Christ, that he was very careful about what he was doing. He was a great teacher. And so we're going to be looking at this parable in the book of Matthew today, in Matthew 13. So I'm just going to read it in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. A great crowd had gathered around him, so that he had gotten to a boat, and the whole crowd stood at the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, and when they did not have much soil, they immediately sprang up, but since they had no depth, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." So here we see Jesus. He's sitting on the beach, and maybe he's just trying to have a relaxing afternoon, but before he knows it, there is a great crowd around him, probably desiring to see him, desiring to hear the teachings. So he pushes out into the boat so that he can address them all, and then he begins his teaching by sharing a parable, and then he ends it by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." But he doesn't explain it. You know, so I can imagine a lot of these people maybe traveled far, or they're greatly anticipating this teaching of Christ. He shares this parable, and then he ends, and then they're kind of like, "Oh, yeah, the seeds, I know, yeah, that's a good one, Jesus." Because honestly, this could be interpreted millions of ways. Without an explanation, we're left to interpret it how we will. For instance, maybe Jesus is saying that the seeds, maybe Jesus is saying that we are the seeds and that we can fall into different soils of life. You know, we need to be careful where we fall. Or maybe we're the birds and we need to pick up the seeds before they take root. Or maybe we're the farmer and we need to be careful where we're sowing our seeds, because if we don't sow it on the right soil, then we're wasting our seeds. I mean, there's just so many different ways to understand this. "Jesus, what are you talking about? Please, like, what do you mean?" So I love this, because Jesus really clearly wasn't concerned about trying to please the people. He was more interested in trying to teach them and draw them in. And it probably confused and angered some. But I am grateful again for the disciples, because they react to Jesus' bizarre teaching method in the way that he wanted them to. The disciples approach Jesus. It says they approach him later, and they say, "Hey, Jesus," first they asked him, "Why do you teach that way?" And then they said, "Well, Jesus, what does it mean? What are you talking about?" And so because they asked that question, Jesus explains, "Well, here, let me tell you what I mean." But this kind of reminds me, again, like being in class, and the teacher says, "Does anybody have any questions?" And nobody raises their hand, but everybody's a little confused. But nobody wants to be the one to say, "I don't know what you're talking about." There's a funny story about, it's called The Emperor's New Clothes, and there's these weavers who say they weave these magical garments, and they're so magical that only the wise and the smart can see them. So the emperor, he says, "Okay, but they don't actually weave clothes." So the emperor, he's like, he doesn't want to sound stupid, so he's like, "Great, I'll take these garments," and he puts them on, and he parades through the town, but really, he's not wearing anything at all. And nobody wants to say anything, because they don't want to seem stupid, but the kid says, "He's not even wearing anything." it really does take a little bit of humility to say, "I don't know what you're talking about." But Jesus wanted us to ask. He wanted us to engage, and it does take a little bit of humility. The disciples ask, and we see Jesus' explanation in verse 18. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation. It's a kind of a little more plain language, and it says, "All right, so study the farmer planting the seed." And in this case, the seed is the word of God. All right. Cool, we know, okay, what's going on here? The seed's the word of God. "When anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along, plucks it right out of that person's heart. So that's the first seed. So the seed is the word of God. The soil is our heart. And Jesus is saying that there's four different scenarios here of how the word of God can penetrate, or how the condition of your heart is when you hear the word of God. So the first seed is it lands on the surface, but before that person can even receive it, the evil one comes and plucks it away. The seed that the farmer scatters on the gravel is the seed who is a person who hears instantly, responds with enthusiasm, but since there's no depth of character, when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. And then the seed that's cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, the worries and the illusions about getting more and wanting more strangle out what was heard, and nothing can come of it. And lastly, the seed that falls on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. So Jesus tells us why he teaches in parables, because he wants us to engage with what he's teaching about. And then here he explains the possible conditions of your heart when you hear the gospel. There's four different possibilities in this story of how you can feel when the word of God comes. And I love this because, you know, the condition of your heart, it's kind of like sometimes we all have something good to share with someone, or maybe we have a way we want to share a challenging word with somebody, but often we pick the not so good time to share it. And even though our intentions were good and what we had to say was good, since we didn't time it right, it didn't land, it didn't sink, and can actually possibly maybe even cause damage, even though what you had to share was good and you were doing it out of love. That's what Jesus is talking about. And today we're going to be focusing on the rocky or the gravel that Jesus is talking about. It said that the seed fell on this soil, it quickly sprouted, but when the sun rose, the sprouts were scorched and they withered away because they had no deep roots. And Jesus describes this person as somebody who responds instantly to the word, but when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arise in life, that joy that they once experienced is gone. It's been drowned out. I think we can all relate to these soils. I don't think what Jesus is saying is that there's four different types of people. I don't really think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is there's four different heart conditions you can have when you hear this. And it's quite possible that we've all kind of been in these different heart conditions at one time or another. Like, for instance, I think this gravel, for me, here's a good example. This is going to illustrate exactly what I feel when I read about this rocky soil. My dad gave me a gift card to Home Depot, and it was a great gift. It it was a lot of money, and I was like, "Whoa! I'm gonna be able to buy a cool tool. This is gonna be so awesome!" And I was so grateful. You know, I took it. I said, "Thank you. This is really nice of you." And a couple weeks later, when I went to use it, I couldn't find it. Stupid gift cards. I think they're a scam because they bank on people like me to lose it. And I did, and I lost it. And I was embarrassed. I was angry because, you know, I was like, I'm not just going to let this go. I got to get that back. So I called my dad and I said, I'm so embarrassed. I lost that gift card. I don't know what I did with it. I was like, do you have the receipt? Like, maybe I can call Home Depot and get it back. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll check around. You know, I eventually did get it back. Thank God. But I was embarrassed because, you know, even though I received the gift with great joy, I was truly enthusiastic about the gift. I lost it. So it's almost like when I called him, I was like, he probably thinks I didn't care, or maybe he, you know, how irresponsible of me to handle something that was so precious and then lose it. I clearly didn't care about it. But that's not true, because I was enthusiastic about the gift. And you know, I think that this is what's happening with the gravel. You know, we're in this heart condition. We receive the Word of God. It actually sprouted and took root authentically. But at some time later, it was mismanaged or neglected. And when the time came to dig for that joy that we once had, it's not there. And you feel like embarrassed. You feel a little ashamed because you're like, well, I had that authentic experience. I was truly, truly embraced God. And yet here I am some time later and I'm empty-handed. I have nothing to show for it. The sun has scorched it dry. And we can respond in many ways at that point. The truth is, we have been given insight into the kingdom. Jesus says in verse 11, he says, you've been given insight. You know how it works, and not everybody has this gift. Because to those who have a ready heart, the insights and understandings will flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. So Jesus is saying, you've been given this great gift of insight, this valuable knowledge. Many have desired to see what you see and hear what you hear. So it's like, how valuable is it? Well, Jesus, it is valuable. And he tells this story of another parable, one of the many 37 parables that Jesus shares, of a pine nut. He says, the kingdom of God is like a pine nut that a farmer plants. It's quite small as seeds go, but in the course of years, it grows into a huge pine tree that eagles can build their nests in. I actually forgot this at home when I was coming, but Katie brought it. It's a little pine tree that we've been trying to grow. Look at it, it's so tiny. But this is I took a pine cone from this beautiful tree. I was like, this is the most beautiful tree I've ever seen. So I grabbed one of the pine cones, and I didn't even know how to do it because I thought a pine cone was the seed, but it's actually full of seeds. So it dried out, and then little tiny speckled little seed popped out, hundreds of them. And we put them in the soil, and a few of them sprouted, and it's actually been this size for like 3 weeks. I don't know what's going on with it, but these trees were hundreds of feet tall, and this is it. And we've been watering them, and we put them on the windowsill so they get the right amount of light. But a lot of them have died because they're so temperamental. And it takes a lot of care. I don't even know if I'll be lucky if we get one tree to grow to the size of the one that we took it from. Because it takes a lot of care and attention and love. But Jesus is saying that sometimes the kingdom of God is like a pine nut. So if you plant it, it's tiny. But over time, you're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, you start going to a small group, and over years and years and years, your faith begins to grow and grow and grow into a great tree. And then he shares another example that's quite different. He says the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field for many years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is so ecstatic that he proceeds to sell everything to raise money to buy the field. Or it's like a jewel merchant who's been on the hunt for excellent pearls, finding one so flawless he sells everything to own it. So those are quite different because in one instance, in a practical way, we slowly but surely grow in our faith. And on the other hand, the Word of God can hit us like a ton of bricks, and we could sell everything and change our entire life to have what we experience. But in either instance, the seed began to grow. And in closing, I want to focus on our response, because the Word of God takes root. You know, this is now a living, breathing experience. It's not a dead seed anymore. The seed was dormant, but now it landed in the soil and it sprouted. It is alive, and it takes attention and nourishment to grow. But the reality is, it can die. And I think this is something that we all need to understand, because we have all been in this situation. As a follower of Jesus, we've experienced his love. A relationship has sprouted. But then maybe at some time later, we're looking for that joy that we experienced, and we're coming up a little empty-handed. Where did it go? I know I experienced that. It was so authentic. It was so real. What did I do with it? And I think in those moments, we need to remember what Jesus is saying. And it's that, you know, first of all, in those moments, when you are looking for that joy that you once had, you feel this hopelessness and shame, and you're lost. And I think you have two ways to respond at that point. Because it's in those moments when you remember what life is really like without Jesus. It's terrible. Without Jesus, I can't even bear to think about my life without Jesus anymore, because it is crushing. It's in those moments that I remember how much I love Jesus and the freedom that he has brought to me. And I'm not just going to let it die. I'm going to find the joy again. I'm going to get the gift card back. I'm going to get it back, because I know what it's like. And we don't need to be ashamed to be the rocky soil. We just need to know that God is good, and we can be the good soil. We can. We can get back. We can grow the tree into a massive pine. And I want to close by reading a scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says this: "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, you may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God." I couldn't say it better. So we're going to close, and then we're going to worship, and I just want to pray. So Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have authentically landed in our hearts, and that we've experienced this awesome joy and freedom that you bring. And I just pray that we recognize the great value that it has in our lives, and that we can always come back to you for more. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.